This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Commanders have a rookie quarterback, and it appears a bright future. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, can help update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We had a great time hanging out with our friends Condori and Murad in Cincinnati over the last few days. They sponsored our trip on the road. Speaking of which, I was just reading one of the blogs. Do you know what the blogs have been saying?
What's that?
There's a prevailing thought on a lot of the blogs. And the blogs are saying Danny Ruggiero's good luck when he attends games. That's what the blogs are saying.
Are they really saying that?
I'm not telling you that there's any obligation for you moving forward.
Like, name seven blogs that are saying that.
A lot of them are saying it.
A lot of them.
I don't want to start singling blogs out.
I see.
I'll forget others.
Yeah.
A lot of the fan podcasts are saying it.
Is, like, the made-up blog saying it? Is that not real blog saying it? Yeah. Is the you just thought of that blog saying it? Like, is that
you any know, of those? Like the fan pods where, they're breaking down the film
and
everything.
Yeah, yeah, oh,
they're
yeah.
all saying it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lots of people are saying it. That's all I'm saying.
There's a pulse. There's an energy to it. You can say whatever you'd like. I enjoy that. Enjoy the words being said.
Will this be
yes
the final game you attend in 2024?
Unless we go to New Orleans.
I think we are going to New Orleans.
Then no.
Okay.
Then I will be doing that.
There's also some talk, possibly. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Whoa.
There's some birds chirping on maybe a trip up 95 to Philly.
What?
Yeah.
Who's talking about that?
There's been a little conversation.
Are they the same people that are doing the blogs talking about it?
No, this is actually
the actual people.
Different people. These are different people.
Human people, not imaginaries?
These are similar people to the people that were involved in the Cincinnati situation.
Oh, actual people.
Now, I don't know where we're at on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some talk.
Okay.
Would you sit in the crowd in Philly?
No, I'll never do that again. I'm never doing that again. I did it once. I'm good on that.
You're not doing
it. I was like, I feel threatened. That's not fun. Like, I don't have that in me anymore, dude. I'm not a jacked 21-year-old that's ready to throw down for the cause. I'm not going to fight for our Commanders.
Philly's really different than Cincinnati and everywhere else, probably.
Yeah.
But my thing is just to make friends with the people around you pretty quickly. Let's diffuse some situations. Like, right away, I was like just shticking it up, doing some dad jokes with the people around me. Having a good old time. They come out, throw a touchdown to Jamar Chase. I'm dapping them up, letting them know, hey, we're not threatening. You guys are going to win this
game. It's just us.
Don't worry. I didn't realize we were about to whoop that butt.
We didn't know we were about to tax it.
I didn't know I was about to spank them for the next couple of hours.
Yeah.
But I was like, good play there, Joe.
Well, the lady in front of us turned around and gave Nux on the touchdown.
She did not do it after that.
No.
So what happened, there was this lady and her husband who, like, right away was a little annoyed by me, it seemed like, because the first couple plays, I was kind of fired up.
Well, yeah, Grant was doing play-by-play just for us in our seats.
A little bit, not
and she
a lot,
she didn't love that.
She did not.
No.
A little bit of play-by-play, just making sure that I still had it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, who are you talking to? Yeah, get your practice. Get your reps in.
Got to polish the reps.
Get it where you can.
So a little shotgun formation, motion from the left, Eckler aligned at the wing. No, so we're just getting you pre-snap. We're getting you ready, just making sure, worst case scenario, phone call happens. We're ready to go call the Old Dominion game this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And the lady kind of turns around a couple times. She's not feeling it.
Yeah, like, what is that? What is he doing?
Why
is this going to happen the whole game?
Why is he broadcasting?
I paid for these.
This play. But after, I think, about five plays in, when Jamar Chase just streaked into the end zone, untouched, the easiest touchdown in the history of Bengals football, I just made sure. I wanted her to know. I'm happy you're happy. Gave her a big high five, hugged her husband, did a little nose-to-nose Eskimo kiss with him. Everybody's happy.
Everyone's good.
And then after Washington scored to tie the game, she turned around and was like, I'll return the favor.
Hey, there you go.
That was the last time we interacted with her for the rest of the night.
Yep. Yep. There were no other turnarounds.
She didn't like getting embarrassed by the locals.
No, sir. She did not. She didn't care for it.
Wasn't her favorite thing. We're Grant and Danny locking you in for the next 3 hours and 15 minutes as we get you set for week 4 in the NFL and Nats baseball tonight. We'll get you your lineups before we get out of here. We've not talked much about the rest of the NFL in week 3, so let's go through some of what took place and where things stand right now in the NFL. How about the Minnesota Vikings? They're 3-0, Danny. This was the big Are They For Real game against the Houston Texans, club that a lot of people think is going to play deep into the postseason, and they whooped Houston. Minnesota got 3 sacks from Jonathan Greenard, a former Texan who they signed as a defensive end to replace Danielle Hunter, who left and went to Houston this offseason. Greenard was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week today. Minnesota, another really good performance from Sam Darnold. Now 3-0, Kevin O'Connell's the frontrunner for Coach of the Year. Justin Jefferson's putting up very solid numbers. They've got a really good run game led by Aaron Jones. Their defense has been arguably the best in the NFL. They are plus 55 in net points. Only New Orleans, with a couple of monster performances, a better margin in the NFC. The Vikings look legit.
That was the ultimate prove-it game. Now, done for Houston. You play it again tomorrow. You probably don't lose 34-7. But from Minnesota's perspective, I mean, Aaron Jones, he doesn't have the burst that he had a handful of years ago in Green Bay. Doesn't matter. He had 150 total yards, 2 touchdowns, is good on the ground and through the air. They know exactly who they are and what they want to do, talking about Minnesota, right? They know where their bread is buttered. They've got Sam Darnold on the good Sam Darnold track. Everyone, including me, thinks the other shoe's going to drop at some point.
Well, remember,
it certainly hasn't yet.
I think Carolina was 3-0 with Darnold.
Or something. He had a great start. It was like 2-1 or something like that.
I think they were 3-0, and he was playing really good. He hadn't turned the ball over yet a couple of years ago, and they played a primetime Thursday night game in week 4 or something. Because I remember it was just all the coverage was, is he for real? Now, I happen to like Darnold a little more than the average person. I just think he's really young and in a much better situation. Having said that, that's 100% why no one's buying them, right?
Yep.
Like, if this was still Cousins in Minnesota and they were 3-0 playing this way right now, I think people would be saying this is a tough team. But because everyone goes, well, Darnold stinks, he's not going to keep this up, they're just dismissive. But this is an excellent defense. They've got great weapons around Darnold. It's just an ideal situation. Even if he plays like a Jag the rest of the way, that might be a 10-win wild card type team. I like Minnesota to be 500-ish the rest of the way. And if they are, they don't just have the bottom fall out. They're going to be in the playoff mix.
Well, yeah, you put some hay in the barn. I thought maybe they could be 2-1 through 3 with a soft landing spot to start with the Giants, who were terrible in week 1. But they beat San Francisco, and now they beat Houston. Another couple of tough games coming up here at Green Bay and then New York. Their schedule was so unforgiving. I didn't think they'd be able to do what we're talking about. But you get off to a 3-0 start. Now, all of a sudden, a lot more is in play.
It's comical that there are 2 undefeated teams in the NFC after just 3 weeks. And it's the Vikings and the Seahawks.
As we all thought.
Vikings leading the North, Seattle. Not the Rams, not the Niners, not the Cardinals leading the West. In fact, the other 3 teams all have 1 win and 2 losses in the NFC West. Seattle, it's not an impressive resume. They beat the Broncos 26-20. Denver's not very good. They beat New England 23-20 in overtime, I believe. New England is going to be bad. Then they beat Miami, which you would traditionally have said that's a good win. No Tua. Not who you play, it's when you play them. So they have 3 wins. They have not yet played a quality opponent. We're going to find a lot out about Seattle, I think, this coming weekend. Monday Night Football at the Detroit Lions. By the way, that game has been an amazing watch 2 straight years where both teams have scored 40-plus points.
It, for whatever reason, it's been epic between them.
The league caught on. They put it in primetime. So Seahawks, Lions, 8:15 kick, Monday Night Football 5 days out. What if Seattle beats Detroit and they're 4-0 with a legit win?
So Seattle's a team I thought everybody was kind of overlooking because it's boring, right? They've been in that 8-9 win plateau for a couple of years, and everybody's always looking for the next thing. and they weren't very sexy, and they're still not. They beat, as you said, two teams that are pretty bad, one that couldn't be more vulnerable in Miami. They manhandled Miami, though, and they were really impressive in that one. So Lions toss-up game, given the what's happened the last couple of years, you figure they could beat the Giants. They could be 5-1 at the quarter pole. That's or one-third pole, whatever that is. They're in a really good position in the NFC. They got a chance to be a postseason team.
There are three 3-0 teams in the AFC leading divisions. The first is the Buffalo Bills, who are a game up on the Jets in the AFC East. Buffalo, good win in week one, coming back to beat Arizona.
They've been great.
Could have easily been a loss. Then they crushed the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football, going back a week ago. And they hung 47 on Jacksonville on Monday night while the Commanders were playing against the Bengals. So they have now scored 34, 31, and 47. Remember, they lost Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, their top two wide receivers. And this big narrative all offseason was their offense was not going to be as good. Josh Allen was not going to be as good. He has not thrown an interception. They're averaging almost 40 points per game. How about this game coming up on Sunday Night Football? Bills, Ravens in Baltimore. Heck, that would actually be fun to go to. I don't think I've ever gone to a Ravens game and the Commanders weren't playing in. That's a legit good game this weekend. The Ravens win, their season's back on. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what's on the line for them. A Buffalo win, though, and you're 4-0 with your first signature victory against a really good opponent.
Yeah, I thought, again, just going into the season, I'm one of the idiots who bought that narrative, by the way, that, hey, they might struggle at times. Josh Allen will have to do too much. He'll play hero sometimes, but you'll have that three turnover thing. Well, certainly hasn't happened yet. And they've been the most impressive team, I'd say, in the NFL through 3 weeks. They're up there with maybe a couple other teams in consideration, but their schedule is difficult. It hadn't mattered for them at this point, and they have been dominant, especially the last 2 weeks.
Also not surprising in the 3-0 category in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, who are looking for a three-peat. They will be the first team to ever win three straight Super Bowls if they can pull it off at the end of this season. They've actually played a good schedule, too. They played the Ravens in week one. That was their closest best game, 27-20. I shouldn't say they're closest, because Chiefs-Bengals came down to a point at the end of the game, and in fact, Kansas City benefited from a PI call, although I thought it was the right call. I thought the pass interference was called correctly. Then they played the Falcons on Sunday Night Football, and I actually thought they got away with a pass interference that may have saved their bacon. Atlanta would have been first and goal from the one to take the lead. Instead, they maintained a five-point lead, and even though the Falcons got the ball back, they couldn't pick up a fourth down and short when they ran the football east-west. So they beat Atlanta. Now they've got the Chargers, likely without Justin Herbert this week, and then the Saints before a bye. So they are staring 4-0 in the face going into that Saints game. I saw a stat that was really interesting. I don't remember how many games it is, but I think it's like the last 8 or 9 games, let's say. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes has 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. These are regular season games. And he has only thrown for 300 yards once, which kind of matches my eyeballs, if you know what I mean.
Like, yeah.
They're not a fun watch offensively anymore, the Chiefs. It's kind of muddy. It is a run heavy is without Pacheco is probably not accurate, but it's very horizontal passing game. They don't score a lot. Again, 22 points against the Falcons.
Yeah, they're a different team than they were a few years
Travis
ago.
Travis Kelce's barely been involved. He looks like, you know, if Zach Ertz lost a step. That's basically what Travis Kelce's been so far. But I say all that to say they've had the switch in the playoffs to keep winning. They've got Patrick Mahomes, who puts on his cape. But they're 3-0, and they're going to be 4-0 after this weekend.
Yeah, they're not as good as they're going to be. You know that, right? I mean, this is one of those teams that if you're going to get them, now's the time, and no one's got them yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're more vulnerable
like
than they're going to be.
Like the pitcher in the first inning.
Yeah.
He gave up the bloop single. He walked the guy. So now it's 2-on, nobody out, and you know, here's our shot.
Yeah, they're going to hit the ground running when it gets colder. And again, this is kind of a different iteration. And they were this last year, too. Most of the regular season, this was not a great offense. It wasn't even a very good offense. They were pedestrian. They were fine. Their defense is what saved their bacon through, you know, stretches of the regular season. Saw how good they were in the postseason as well. But then the efficiency picks up. Everybody gets comfortable in their roles. And they found something here in this Rashee Rice guy as well.
The last of the 3-0 teams in the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Of course.
Death. Taxes and Mike Tomlin squeezing wins out of a stone, man. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-10 over the Chargers. Now, Taylor Heinicke came into the game, struggled a bit. Herbert got hurt, tight game. That benefits you, but it's not like you weren't harassing the heck out of Justin Herbert, right? They beat the Broncos 13-6, ugliest win of the weekend in week two. They beat the Falcons 18-10 without a touchdown, maybe the ugliest win of week one. Atlanta with Cousins coming back from the Achilles and first time with a new coach. Like, they looked so bad in that game. They've looked very different the last 2 weeks. So you can make the case the Steelers have the most fortunate, just lucky and fortuitous three-week win streak to begin the year. They're at Indianapolis this weekend. They eventually have to play Dallas and the Jets in a three-week stretch coming up, which might tell us a lot. But the story is that Justin Fields was never supposed to start for them. Justin Fields was their backup. Russell Wilson was their starter. In the week leading up to week one, Wilson got banged up. Fields takes over and wins week one, running around. Again, no touchdowns. It's mostly defense and special teams. Then they have 13 points in week two. They win again. They played their best game in week three against the Chargers, 20-10. And it's just going to be hard to bench him. I mean, Mike Tomlin's still doing the thing, Danny, where he's going, well, Wilson's not quite right. He's not 100% yet. Here's what I know. Justin Fields is their starter. They haven't announced it yet, but until they lose, he's the guy.
He should be. They should do exactly what they're doing. It's so annoying. It's gross. It's not fun. But they're giving up 8.7 points per game. This is the NFL. They're giving up 8.7 points per game. Now, I know they haven't played three juggernaut offenses. You just touched on what happened this past week with the Chargers. But they're shoving it on people. That side of the football is so good. All you need is a couple plays made here or there. And that's what Justin Fields is going to do. Now, you want to eliminate some of those bad Justin Fields moments, right? The gross interception or the fumble or trying to do something out of nothing. But all you need is him to run around and do something once per game or twice per game, maybe even three times, and you'll end up at 17, 18 points. And that's enough with how good this defense is and has been. They're 3-0.
Yeah, they are. There are three teams that haven't won yet. Let's look at those teams. The Bengals, we've been talking a lot about over the last several days for obvious reasons. They fall to 0-3. They're very flawed, minus 12 and overall net points. You ready to admit that the Bengals just aren't that good? That's a terrible defense.
That defense is way worse than I thought. I'll tell you that. I saw that firsthand. I don't know if you were there, but they got carved up this past week by...
Who played them?
Washington. Washington did.
Okay.
Washington
Commanders?
Carved them. Yeah.
Commanders moved the ball on them?
They did.
Okay.
At will is the phrase. Yeah, the defense worse than I thought. Offense had its coming out party. And they look like the bona fide NFL offense that you thought you were seeing.
T. Higgins made a big, big difference.
Yes, he certainly did.
Because now you can't double, you can't bracket Chase, or else Higgins will eat you up on the other side of the formation. You could see their offense came to life.
So, you know, because Burrow can do that, can spin it so well and move around and do some things, they're not out of it altogether yet. But, man, it is an uphill climb to be 0-3 in that division.
Yeah, look at the schedule coming up for them at 0-3. So they've got the Andy Dalton revenge game in Charlotte against the Panthers this weekend. No ifs, ands, or buts. I know Andy Dalton played really well this past weekend, and the Panthers look like a different team, and they dominated the Raiders. You have to win that. That's 1-3. Then they play the Ravens, though.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a must-win. If you can win that game, you're 2-3 with the Giants and the Browns after that. I know it's hard to just give them a four-game winning streak, but in that hypothetical, you're 4-3 and your season's back on. But you have to beat Carolina, and then you're going to have to beat Baltimore in 2 weeks. If they do that, then starting 0-3 is a lot less of a problem.
Yeah, let's say they drop one and they're 3-4. That's still... Your season is still on.
You got
right?
a shot.
Yeah,
you got something. Division's really good.
Well, that's the thing. But you can maybe afford to drop one of those games that happens. It's the NFL. But this is a huge one because 0-4 just feels different.
And on that division, right? I mean, Pittsburgh's off to the great start. The Ravens are actually 1-2, so they have not run away from you.
No,
Cleveland is not only 1-2, but they're in big trouble because Deshaun Watson is no good. So they aren't going to be sprinting away from you anytime either. The other two winless teams in football are both in the AFC South. One is explainable to me. I never really got the love for the Tennessee Titans with Will Levis. They have not won yet. The other one is not explainable. I don't get this. I thought the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence would be a much tougher customer. He is in his... Is it the third year with him and Doug Peterson now?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? That offense looks awful. He looks really bad. They have scored 17, 13, and 10 points in decreasing order. They've been beaten by 3, 5, and now 37. They play the Texans, Colts, and Bears over the next three games. So they're in must-win territory. The Titans have really been on the wrong end of some terrible young quarterback decisions from Levis. They lost a 7-point game they never should have to the Bears when they outplayed them. They lost 24-17 to the Jets. New York scored with 4 minutes left to win that football game. And then they just got beat up by
Green
the
Bay
Packers.
Whooped them.
But Malik Willis at quarterback. Now they've got the Dolphins with Skylar Thompson this weekend. So normally that'd be a loss. Because you play them with a backup quarterback, maybe you can save your season. They then have a bye week and they come out of it with the Colts.
So my prediction for Tennessee was not division winner or anything kind of crazy. I thought they'd be friskier. People are kind of were looking at them like they were, you could barely tie their shoes. So it hasn't gone well, obviously, for my prognostication through 3 weeks. You mentioned it. They should absolutely be 1-2. They were outplayed by both Green Bay and the Jets.
They could easily be 2-1.
But they could be 2-1.
If Levis didn't make, mm-hmm. If you take his two worst decisions of the season away, they're 2-1 team.
That's right. So, you know, I don't think they're going anywhere this year, but the operation still, to me, looks better than it did if you look at last season. But to Jacksonville, I can't figure that one out. I don't get it. I always thought that we're overrating Trevor Lawrence because he was on TV as a freshman killing it, and he's been amazing. I just kept asking, are we sure that he's great? Because he was in that cool kids club, the rarefied air superstar quarterback, with one pretty good season and that comeback playoff win against the Chargers, right? Awesome deposits. Other than that, it hadn't been special yet. I'm just sort of waiting. Let's crown him when it's special.
This is the start of a season where coaches lose jobs.
Yeah. Like
the way things are going in Jacksonville when you're 3 years in to a regime. Grant and Danny, with you on The Fan. The last couple of days, it has been cool to be a fan of football in Washington, D.C. again. Let's talk about that next on G&D.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Our double play is coming up in 15 minutes. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We'll blitz in 30 minutes right here on The Fan. The teams you care the most about all jammed into one segment. Get you the latest on your D.C. sports clubs. Nats play tonight, 6:45. Their season winding down. This is the last homestand, in fact. I think I'm going to take the kids out to the game. There's a day game tomorrow, which means we won't be on the air, which is nice, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'll take the children to the ballpark tomorrow for one last ride. My son actually asked me, he said, "Dad, can we go to the Nats game?" And I'm like, "Well, yes, but I'm glad you asked this week and not like in a week."
His answer is no next week, buddy.
The end of the road, my friend. So
cue the boys to men.
He said, "Good, I want to go see C.J. Abrams." I didn't know how to handle that one.
Go on kayak.com, book a flight to West Palm Beach.
I didn't really know what to say, honestly. What is this? Is a moment where he's three.
Yeah.
Do we talk about being out all night at the casino? I don't think we do. So I said, he might have the day off tomorrow, bud. That's what I said. That's where we're at so far.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how that conversation would go.
I think what I'm going to do is he's going to wear a C.J. Abrams t-shirt. He's going to ask me a bunch of times, where's C.J. Abrams? And I'm just going to keep saying, he's not playing today. I don't think I'm going to elaborate. I don't want to lie. So I'll just give him as much information as he needs.
But also, how could you explain that?
You couldn't.
To a three-year-old, right?
I
couldn't explain it to my six-year-old.
You know what I would say, honestly, if I wanted to make a larger point, is I would say he misbehaved.
Yeah, he made a bad decision.
And the Nats are punishing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his room. He got sent to his room for timeout. That's probably what I would say.
Yeah, that's not bad. I bought that.
I'm going to say he wouldn't go to bed when he was told.
Oh.
Which is a fact. That is actually a fact.
I see what he did. See what he did?
And it's relatable content.
Yes, he did.
He came out and asked Mike Rizzo for a glass of water. Then he asked Mike Rizzo
for the cocktail witches for something.
Another bedtime story. Then he asked the assistant general manager if he could just come lay in your bed, Dad, for a while. Like, he didn't go to bed when he was supposed to, bud. So now he's in timeout. He's got a little punishment.
Yeah, he's missing the game.
I'm going to take the kids over there. We'll get you a preview of tonight's game coming up in just a bit on The Fan. It has been fun to be a Commanders fan over the last few days again.
Weird.
I got at the exact same moment. I should go back and figure out which play it was. My guess is it was early in the game, I feel like. I think it was after the Daniels rushing touchdown on the read option where the Bengals played it like they'd never seen a quarterback keep a ball in read option ever. How open was that touchdown?
Very. Everybody was going the opposite way. And it's like, I don't know, man. I'd probably look at that quarterback. I'd have one guy look at him.
You could have driven a school bus through that hole. Mm-hmm. Like a big yellow, take you to your field trip at the one-room schoolhouse near your house when you're growing up. School bus.
Legit question. Now, he's able to, you know, manipulate and do things with the football and fake better than any of us could, right? Like, I'm not saying that. The moment where Jaden Daniels is open, time stops. A genie snaps his fingers. Grant Paulson, all you and your athletic ability, you jump into Jaden Daniels' body. Could you have scored there?
1,000%.
And that's kind of my point, is I think I could have too.
Well, no, that's not an I think. I mean, this isn't a bit like I could return a kickoff to the 20 or anybody doing.
Look, I think anybody could have scored everything.
There
the fake was that good.
Nobody around him.
Yeah.
He was at the 4, and he got into the end zone. There was no one near him. All you would have to do, would you catch the snap?
Yeah.
Okay, then you would score. You put the ball out and let a running back run past it as if he's going to grab it, and then you walk the other way into the end zone. Yeah, it was defended terribly, but it was also a beauty. It was 3 touchdowns on the ground now for Daniels. But the point is, I think it was that play.
Mm-hmm.
I got the exact same text from 2 different people. One is the cousin of my wife, who I talk football with all the time, big Packers fan, who lives in Michigan. The other is a guy that I do radio shows with on the weekend, who does radio in Kansas City. Who's a big Chiefs mark and doesn't understand what football's like for everybody else.
Yeah.
And how difficult it can be.
It's hard for a lot of people.
But they both sent me a text with just eyeballs, like that eyeball emoji where it's mm-hmm. like I think the text was meant to be like,
look at that.
Whoa. Or yeah. Like, are you seeing this, man? Or like, I see you. Or something.
Yeah. Look.
But I got kind 2 of those back mm-hmm. to back. I was the guy getting the eyeball emoji text.
So like my buddies who are pretty much punted, not the thing that Tressway used to do. Remember Tressway? Used to punt. But on all things Redskins, WFT, Commanders and stuff, just beaten away, don't care anymore, whatever. A lot of those guys on the McLaurin bomb, not the tutty that won everything, but on that little skinny post situation where Daniels threw an absolute dime before McLaurin was open. That's when I got those, like, oh my God, this is incredible type stuff from guys that haven't paid attention in years.
Yeah, I just... The last few days, seeing Aaron Rodgers on McAfee raving about Jaden Daniels, raving about Terry McLaurin, the amount of other players. Devontae Adams went on this big Terry McLaurin rant. Which, by the way, when did this start? Where current NFL players are on shows like breaking down games that they watched in primetime. Very weird. Maybe I just haven't noticed because the Commanders never play in them and no one's ever saying nice things about them. But I thought it was very strange. Like, Kay Adams is interviewing Devontae Adams. And like, what did you think of Terry last night? And like, he's giving a thought. McAfee's asking Aaron Rodgers what he thought of Jaden Daniels. Is that a thing? I've never seen that.
Yeah, I think because we're so 24/7, that's now kind of the norm. And it's never about us, right? It's always about other teams or whatever. But yeah, you see that now where it's like, hey, we all watched it. What did you make of it, right? Because we might get a great quote out of Aaron Rodgers. Ask him about anything.
It's just been a blast to soak up all the coverage. There are so many times when you're a fan of this team where I know this because as a media member, you guys won't listen for the week. You don't call,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't want to hear what we've got to say. You don't want to read the press clippings. You don't want to see the story we wrote or the tweet we sent. This is a give me all of the content week.
Yep.
And just one after another, these clips of these players and these people who are just praising the Commanders. We are the cool kid right now. And a lot of it is that people like Jaden Daniels, and he's the cool kid, right? Like,
yeah, that's the biggest chunk of it.
There's something
obviously
about him, too, where we always talk about the cool kid club.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that Lamar thing where like people just love Jaden Daniels. They do. And they should. He was incredible, and it's fun. But like when he does something and someone else does something, it's cooler that he did it. Like, he's got whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Washington hasn't had that guy post-Robert Griffin.
Mm-mm.
And before that, in a long, long time.
I mean, the number of times as a fan, before I was lucky enough to have this gig, what would happen is when it was so negative for so long, I could just walk away. I would just shut down. Now, I'm still watching the games and everything, but it's like I can't read another article about the Dan Snyder embarrassment or about the other whatever. But, like, here, in doing our job, like, you got to consume it. So when it's nice, I soak it all in.
Let's go to Matt in Warrington on G&D here on The Fan. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, Grant, Danny. Great show today.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, hey, listen, fun going out on the plane with Grant and chatting it up.
This is my favorite guy. So Matt gets full credit, by the way. I would not have gone to see Paul Skeens at Great American Ballpark if not for you. We landed.
The assist, Matt.
By the way, it was like an hour-long flight. We talked the entire time. It felt like it was like a three-minute flight. People probably hated our guts, by the way. Like, everyone's like trying
to... When you were waiting for your baggage, the guy that was sitting next to me on the flight, we walked up a little bit, and he's like, "That was the longest conversation on a plane I've ever been a part of."
No.
And I was like, "Did it bother you?" And he was like, "No, I enjoyed the whole thing. You guys never shut up."
That is hilarious. Well, I thought about it, not only after, but during. I'm like, these people around us hate us. Because it was early in the morning, and most people were sleeping. And we were just like, an hour straight of just chopping it up. But anyway, when we landed, I said I was going to the hotel. And you said, "Yeah, I'm about to go to the Reds game." I had no idea they were at home. You said they were playing the Pirates. Yep. And that gave me the thought to look up who was pitching. So I would not have seen Skeens without you. So I owe you a thank you.
Oh, well, awesome. Yeah, no, that was a nice, nice park. I enjoyed going there. So the three things I enjoy the most that I'm just having a blast with is I'm sitting in my section, and the amount of disdain of Bengals fans talking to each other about getting walloped by a rookie quarterback and the dumb grin on my face. That was number one. Number two, I'm walking out of the stadium, probably 8 feet tall at this point, tallest I've ever been in my life. I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody. I'm not going to be a jerk, but it's been a long time since I've had that little swagger in my walk. And then walking through the airport the next morning in my commander's gear and just seeing all the employees, and they're all just scowling, shaking their head. Mm-hmm. No, probably a little extra patty pat with TSA, a little aggressive on the security walkthrough. I'm enjoying all of that.
I didn't have anything there, sir. What are you patting me there
Why
for?
Why are you judging me there?
Appreciate the call, and was good chatting with you as well, Matt. He's right, though. We had the same experience in our section where it was not just, like, the one guy kept saying, "The Redskins? You're going to let the Redskins do this to you?" And his whole point was, I think we all get it.
Yeah, I got it.
The team that I always see everyone making fun of all the time, right? But then he kept saying, "And a rookie quarterback? They're going to let a rookie quarterback do this to him?"
It's the feeling that I've had for 30-some years. While their guy, their special guy, runs around and we can't stop him, right? And it's just, it's beyond exasperating. It steals your soul. It steals your will. That pit in your stomach. Our guy was doing it to them.
Yep.
That's worth it all. That to me is the whole point. I want that. Everyone else suffers now. Not my time. It may come my time. Hey, we might be one ankle away or whatever. All I know is that night, it was my time to be the one that made them suffer. They had to eat it, and that was awesome.
I want to play the Rodgers audio next because Aaron Rodgers, the analyst, the guy that breaks down the other NFL games for some reason with Pat McAfee, he had some thoughts on Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin. It was fun to hear. I saw them circulating on the web, so we'll do that next. Plus, our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports, right here on The Fan. Breaking news on The Fan is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Danny, the breaking news, Dan Quinn telling reporters just minutes ago, Austin Eckler has already been ruled out, will not play in Arizona. That obviously means he's likely not going to make the trip to Arizona as well. Cleveland Farrell already ruled out, interestingly enough. So that injury he suffered last week, more serious than just a day-to-day situation. But more importantly, maybe the star early on of this offense for the Commanders through three games, Austin Eckler, ruled out, will not play on Sunday. He will be on our show at 5 p.m. on Friday, so we'll get an update on how he's feeling. We'll preview the game with him at that time.
Yeah, certainly been their most effective per-touch player, right? I mean, just the burst he's shown, the kind of the easy button, taking some of the short little, you know, I don't want to call them gimmicky things, but that are meant to just help move the chains a little bit or stay ahead of the chains. He's converted the first downs. I mean, you saw the start of the game, right? 8-yard carry, 8-yard little flip pass that gets your first down. Later on, a bubble screen that he takes for 15, 16 yards. He's been so effective and is such a weapon for this offense. You can't overuse it, right? You can't have him bash between the tackles like you do Brian Robinson because of wear and tear. Just such a bummer, man, because he was off to such a blistering start for this offense.
I agree that you don't want to overuse it. I do think still there's a big gap between how much they're using him and overusing him.
Agreed.
To the point where I would push the gas pedal down a little more. Like, I know someone will say, he just got hurt. It was a fluky thing. He got hit in the side of the helmet. It was a concussion. It wasn't like it was a usage fatigue thing. He had 2 carries against the Bucs. I'd like to see that number be in the 5 to 7 range. He had 8 against the Giants, averaged about 5 yards per. And then he had 3 for 35 with a 24-yard touchdown and a half against the Bengals. We were probably on our way to a 5 or 6 carry game for him against Cincinnati if he didn't get hurt, which is kind of the floor of where I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is, as a receiver, 4 catches in week 1, 3 catches in week 2, 2 catches in week 3.
Well again, on his way in week 3, yeah.
And a half of football, that would have been a 5-6 catch game perhaps. Like the touches are going to be there. 6 in week 1, 11 in week 2. 5.5 of football in week 3. They just got to find a way to incorporate him, but not having him is going to be a significant blow. We'll talk a lot more as the week goes on about how they try to replace him. The next man up at running back is Jeremy McNichols. McNichols had a really nice blitz pickup where he just de-cleated a linebacker that's gone viral in one of the few plays where he was noticeable on the field on Monday Night Football, but it's a lot more Brian Robinson thumping. And Robinson catching the football out of the backfield.
You would think, yeah.
Could be a really, really big game for him in terms of touches and opportunities against Arizona. But Austin Eckler ruled out. This was Dan Quinn with reporters just a bit ago.
Yeah, we'll be. Austin won't make it, you know, for the game. And it's the right call for him, not on our short week to go. We'll have a chance to see what next week looks like then. But we do have a lot of confidence. It's one of the groups that we have a deep crew that can roll strong. And so when called upon, we're certainly ready to do that. And we're also excited for J-Mac. He's somebody, you know, hasn't got a lot of touches, a lot of opportunities, but I do know that he is somebody when given those chances, he does not miss his ops.
That's Dan Quinn from earlier today. Remember, they're out in Arizona where they're practicing at a college campus for a few days ahead of the Sunday game now with the Cardinals. Bummer, man.
Yeah, it just stinks. I feel for the guy.
I do like, though, finding out this early in the week in terms of planning. We've had Jay Gruden on our show for 3 years now.
That's a good point.
One of the things that's come up a few times is with really instrumental parts of the offense, he would have to tear up his play sheet and his game plan right before a game sometimes when a guy would be ruled out that they thought was trending in the right direction. Or if there was, you know, a game time decision, let's say, where they thought, hey, if he gets cleared, we're going to fly him out here, we're going to play him, he would have to do 2 game plans. And there's only so many hours in the day. So I actually think possibly, maybe this is just me being optimistic, but by knowing on Wednesday that he's not going to play, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, from really last night on, all systems are go on a B-Rob heavy, McNichols-friendly game plan where you're not trying to do Eckler things with somebody else. You're doing what they do well. That might be okay.
Yeah, it's you can recover better that way for sure. And just to McNichols specifically, you saw in the preseason. Now, he is not Austin Eckler, okay? They don't make many of that guy. But he's the most Austin Eckler-like among those running back candidates that we thought might make the team from the preseason. You think of Wiley or Chris Rodriguez or some of the other guys that were kind of vying for that spot. And this was McNichols is that blitz pickup, third down back style guy who's, you know, kind of backing up Eckler figuratively, right? And he made the club, and you saw his impact once Eckler went out. Again, he's not going to put up huge numbers, but that's why he's here, is, you know, to enhance the passing game.
It is time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. I posted this on my Instagram, I believe, at Grant H. Paulson. There was a picture that we took. We kept walking by near our hotel, this sign, all week long in Cincinnati. And it finally dawned on us that it just was weird. The sign on the door of this sushi place said half price sushi 7 days a week. I'm going to say it again. Half price sushi 7 days a week. At what point does that just become the price?
This is like a classic Mitch Hedberg joke. Rest in peace. One of the great comedians ever, but he would have been able to deliver that line perfectly, where if your sign says half price 7 days a week, that's just the price. Boom. That's what it is. You half off of what? You tell me. What? When is it full? Let me know.
So we've walked back and forth, and the whole group every time is like, that doesn't make sense. We're racking our brains. How could this be? Why don't you just say that that's the price of the sushi? I tweeted out the picture. I did get one suggestion from somebody that made a lot of sense, and I've now gotten to the point where I've overthought this. But what if every day at a certain time, they drop the sushi price in half, like a happy hour kind of pricing? Would that make the sign make more sense? I think it might. This might actually be a brilliant suggestion, where when you go in and you get the details on it, the way it works is every day from 4 to 7, they serve half price.
A little sushi happy hour, yeah.
Do you think that's what they mean?
It could be, but I'll tell you this. As the sign reads, that famous Kentucky sushi, right? It's one of the national hubs, worldwide hubs. Covington, Kentucky. When you think sushi, L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, Tokyo, Covington, like in that conversation.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, I don't know if I'm eating sushi in Kentucky. Well, you don't know much about sushi then.
Then you're not up on the sushi game.
There is no hotter spot for sushi in America. I think it's third hottest in the world. Is that what we saw?
Yeah, because it's ranked up. So like the trend is up. So it was like 7, now it's 3.
And it's the hottest scene in America is Covington, Kentucky for sushi.
That's right.
Every day, half off.
Where do you go near the building that's abandoned and between the other one that's boarded up? That's where you go to get the half price sushi.
Your sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a double play.
That's how we do it.
Every day on Grant and Danny. Beltway Blitz comes your way next. And then we'll blitz the East in 1 hour. At 5 o'clock, we'll check in on the other teams that are all chasing the vaunted Washington Commanders in the division. You're listening to The Fan.